African unity.
All right, we'll move away from the Arab League speeches for a moment. We were just listening to the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, who has made an appearance at the Arab League summit taking place in Jeddah. And before him, we also heard from the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. And we have Ibrahim Freyhat with us here on set in Doha. So, Ibrahim, when we heard from the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, he said that the kingdom is, in fact, ready to mediate between Russia and Ukraine. And then we heard from the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, who's in attendance. How significant is his attendance?
Well, Saudi Arabia has been actually trying to play a role in the war in Ukraine, is basically presenting itself as a mediator. And this is very important because this is part of the larger foreign policy that Saudi Arabia is trying to draw for itself, especially in the past 2 years and after the tension with the Biden administration has been increasing, especially the past 2 years. So Saudi Arabia, since the war started and for the past year, has been refusing to take a position to support the U.S. administration in this war. It refused to increase the supply of oil to replace for the Russians. And also, it did not support U.S. resolutions in the General Assembly of the United Nations. So now is trying to show some closeness to Russia and to Ukraine. So this is part of the larger foreign policy. And bringing or inviting Zelensky to the Arab League is a very strong message in that regard, in order to emphasize the new role or the new foreign policy or the new regional order, by the way, that has been mentioned several times in the past 1 hour by different speakers, by Abu Ghaid, the General Secretary of the Arab League, mm-hmm. and also by the Algerian representative.
So what does that tell you, that it's being mentioned several times?
Yes, there is. This is the common thing that came in the last three speeches, is that all talking about multipolarity and that the retreat of the United, indicating a retreat of the United States from the Arab region, from the Middle East, and that there is a gap that they want to fill, and there is a new regional order, a new world order, the multipolarity, and now they're trying to build a new regional order to redraw the political map or the map of the political alliances in the region. And that's why we're seeing they're bringing Assad back to the Arab League, and Saudi Arabia is taking a leading position in this, hosting this in Riyadh, in Jeddah, and leading the Arab League, and sending these messages to inviting Zelensky, and the openness, of course, the normalization with Iran and signing the normalization agreement in China, all part of a set of messages that shape the new foreign policy, that I call it, of Saudi Arabia, that has been changing drastically in the past two years.
Let's break down some of these points. Let's look at Syria, for one, because it is significant that the President Bashar al-Assad is there for the first time in 12 years. And the Saudi Crown Prince, when he was speaking, he said that we hope that Syria's return to the Arab League will end its crisis. When you look at the crisis in Syria and the war in Syria, how does Assad's return actually aid that? Because as of now, we haven't seen yet any sort of political solution. There are still a lot of questions being answered about Syria's war, including what happens to all the refugees that are outside of the country. Those questions haven't been answered. Is this going to aid that?
I don't think so. Unfortunately, the invitation or the unconditional return of the Assad regime to the Arab League without linking this to a political settlement or to any sort of political reform or power sharing, or the solution of a humanitarian crisis, or even the refugees, right? Or any of these points on the agenda without linking the Britain to any of them, this is going to exacerbate the political crisis in Syria, not aid the political crisis in Syria. This is going to embolden the Assad regime. The Assad regime is going to be much stronger now. And this is going to remove any incentives for any future political settlements. yes, it is going to aid the new Saudi foreign policy, but not the war, not aiding a solution in Syria. It's going to aid the new drug war that it's been happening, what's called the Kiptagon, and the export of drugs from Syria to Jordan and to Saudi Arabia, which has become a serious problem in the past 2 years. This is kind of return or unconditional return. It's going
but
to
help end
reports,
it. But there are some reports. There are some reports that seem to suggest, excuse me, that Bashar al-Assad might be getting some sort of financial aid from certain countries. So perhaps there are conditions that are going to be attached that we're just not aware of as of now.
That's correct. And I think part of the return, there will be some financial aid because, again, the way I see this, I think this is a victory, what's happening now, for Arab autocracy, for Arab regimes, not for Arab democratization, not for developments in the Arab world, not for humanitarian supporting or resolving a humanitarian crisis in Syria or elsewhere. These are regimes supporting each other, basically, and supporting autocratic systems and maintaining their own regime interests, not necessarily the interest of their own people. So receiving aid for Syria without linking this to a secure and safe return of the Syrian refugees to Syria, right? This is not going to be for the Assad regime is to be able to use it in that regard. This issue was discussed in the last Amman summit, Jordan summit, with the attendance of the Syrian foreign minister and other foreign ministers. Syria or the Assad regime mentioned that they're going to help,
right,
but not making it conditional in order to allow for the safe and secure return of the Syrian regimes, which is very important. No, because we haven't seen any return of refugees going back to Syria.
Right.
But this return does not obligate the Syrian regime or the Assad regime from allowing any safe or secure return, you know, for the Syrian refugees to go back. And we know that the demography during the war has changed significantly. And many new laws were passed during the past 10 years that allowed the state or the regime in Syria to confiscate houses and properties in Syria. So those refugees, where are they going to go back?
Right.
And how is this going to help the humanitarian crisis? This is all not clear. It doesn't say anything. And I think this is going to increase polarization in Syria. It's going to... this is an incentive for the Assad regime not to engage in serious political reform or power sharing or resolution or reconciliation among Syria, because now the Assad regime got what they wanted. Why should they?
Okay, when you look at the bigger picture, though, with Bashar al-Assad in attendance at the Arab League, and also we were talking a moment ago about the rapprochement that has been taking place between Saudi Arabia as well as Iran, what could be the implications of this on a geopolitical level for the region?
Yes, there are important, actually, implications on the geopolitical level. One is that this is the first step towards rapprochement or normalization, Iran-Saudi Arabia normalization. And this is important. We cannot deny this, because part of the problem the past 12 years, actually, or more, the regional conflicts have been exacerbated or deepened because of the Iran-Saudi rivalry and because of the proxy wars that Iran and Saudi Arabia run in the region. So this is not to suggest that the wars were because of the Iran-Saudi rivalry, but because these conflicts have their own domestic reasons.
Right.
But the rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia and the proxy wars deepened these conflicts and the proxy wars in the region and exacerbated them. So now that we're seeing Iran-Saudi normalization taking place, I think this is the first step towards the reduction of tension in the region, but not the resolution of the conflict.
What about when you look at the Palestinian issue? Because we heard from several speakers, including Abu Ghait, as well as the Algerian prime minister who was speaking. They mentioned Palestine. Palestine is high on the agenda at this Arab League summit. We see in attendance Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority president. Is Palestine back on the map when it comes to the Arab League meetings? You can say that?
Well, yes and no, okay. The answer to this. The yes is that this kind of a summit and bringing all, you know, most of the Arab leaders and also the Iran-Saudi normalization sends a strong message that what's called the Abraham Accord, it's no longer continuing, or Saudi Arabia is no longer part of it, mm-hmm. right? Because this represents a whole different approach to the Abraham record that was prevailing just like during the Trump administration times. And let's keep in mind that the president of the UAE is not attending, you know, this summit. So this is, again, another sign why this represents a different approach to the Abraham record. Now, so on that level, I think it's yes, is bringing Palestine in a different form, in right. a different to the Abraham Accord or agreement approach. But to what extent this is going to present serious progress or, you know, for the Palestinian cause,
right.
I don't think much, because Palestine has been always in these Arab leagues at present strongly, right? But most of the time, unfortunately, it doesn't exceed more than just lip service. Okay. So maybe some additional financial resources, but that's pretty it. I don't think that it's much more than that.
Okay, Ibrahim, we'll speak to you a little later on. Thank you so much, Ibrahim Freihat, for giving us your analysis. So that is a live picture from Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, where the Arab League meeting has kicked off. There have been a number of speakers so far. We will move away from the summit for a little while and go back to it a little later on, right here on Al Jazeera. So you're watching Al Jazeera. We'll tell you about some other news at this hour. And there are G7 leaders who are meeting in the Japanese city of Hiroshima. The group has agreed new sanctions.